I always have to check the podium, is it of the right size or not? And I'm glad that this podium is not that tall. I want to introduce myself. The first slide, please. Oh, I'll do it. Okay, got it. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's my family. My name is Raj Mohan Paul, and that's my wife, Ronnie Paul. She's right here. And then my son, Steve, he's here with us here. And that's Simon, and that's Shalini. Shalini is an adopted daughter. She is a teacher in Bangalore, India. This is the second time I'm coming here to this church, and I felt so safe to leave my son with you. I've been to many churches, but this church is so welcoming. So much of smiles I could see from all of you. The way you welcomed us when I came with my son, I was like, wow, this is the church I really want to leave my son. And oh, we do not have a leader yet for this church, and yet I can see you cooperating, and so as a family, and I was comforted being here, and today when I come back here to the church, I feel like, wow, this is the church that I want my son to be for there forever. Amen. So, I think next month, Tony Singh will be here. He told me that. And he's a good friend of mine. He's a loving guy, a person who would take the church to greater heights. And I know that he has a wonderful family. And I know that as a church, we need that kind of a family to serve the church as well. I'm going to talk about secrets. How many of you like secrets? I know nobody likes it. That's okay. In India, we like a lot of secrets, but I don't think so. You like it here, anyway. 5 secrets to grow back your hair. You like that? I like it. I keep flipping over the internet and saying, where are the secrets, okay? But you know how it is. 8 secrets to have a flat stomach. There you go. Okay. 10 secrets to stay younger. Yeah. Well, Bible is filled with mysteries, a lot of secrets. 6 months ago, a soothsayer, you know what a soothsayer is, a person who predicts the future. My daughter was getting off the car, and he came up, and he talked to my daughter and said, "You're going to get married in 6 months." And sure it is, and my daughter looked at me and said, "How come he knows that?" Well, he's a soothsayer. It's amazing. I do not know how he knows that. Just 3 months ago, I was sitting in the car. A soothsayer crosses by, and it is, in a three months' time, you're going to have a wedding in your family. I'm like, how does he know that? I do not know. But one thing that I know, there are many more secrets in the Bible that we need to find out. The good thing about the secret is not a secret, it's an open secret. Amen. A lot of things that we know it, but yet we don't look at it as a secret thing, okay? Now, the secrets of the kingdom is displayed in the Bible. If you look at the verse that talks about the parable of the sower, in between the parable and the explanation lies this verse in Luke chapter 13. It talks about something, you know, turn your Bible, if you look at the scripture, you have to find out something which is so important. It says that the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the disciples in parables?" Why? What's so special there? Now, I thought in India, we remember the stories more than the scriptures. I'm sure it doesn't happen here, right? You know, most of the time, it's just 3 weeks later, we ask, what is the message that been preached 3 weeks before? You will not remember it. But you remember those stories. That's why Jesus used those things. But for some reason, stories remain as stories, and they are not translated to become the truth. And I want you to look at the story that Jesus says, and I want you to understand either it could remain a story in your life or it could become the truth in your life. Our church is the only church which has intentional discipling. Most of churches talk about discipleship. They teach it perfectly. But our church intentionally disciple each other. And that's what we are known for. And I'm grateful and thankful for 30 years of my Christian life that I'm standing here because of the discipling that I got. I'm not this kind of person who stand leave alone on the stage, but in front of you I would not talk. I'll be sitting at the back or standing outside this hall not wanting to talk to anyone. I'm a quiet person, reserved, not interested in anything but my books. I loved my books. Leave me alone, I'll go and sit in the room and would like to continue to read my book. I'm changed because of the discipling that I have. In 11, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. To you, not to them outside in the world. Wow. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away. That's scary. You know, in India, we live in an Indianized Christianity. Okay? Now, there is idol worship rampant in India, where when you worship idols, you don't worship idol by looking at it and then admire the idol. You fall flat on the floor and you hold the statue and you kiss the statue. That's how passionate they are about idol worship. And that happens in Christian churches too, in Catholic churches, where the idols are venerated. They kiss the idols. They touch the idols. They light candles by idols. They fall flat on in front of the idols. I want you to pray for one thing for India. We don't want idol worship in India. That's something that I would love for you to pray, because I know idol worship is so sad. We forget the living God and we worship something which cannot move, cannot see, cannot hear, cannot feel. And I want you to think that in India we have something that could be there forever and ever, this idol worship. That's the only country which has idol worship to the extent it is. There is even a Catholic church in India. If you do not have a baby, you make an idol with the shape of the baby, made up of gold, and present it to the church. Within a year's time, you will have a baby. That's the belief that they have. That's to the extent that they believe in idols. You know, if I tell you the seven way to lose weight, seven secrets to weight, lose weight, the first secret is eat only when you're hungry. I mean, you're like, yeah, that's a known fact. I understand. It's not that hard for us to do that. But let me tell you, when we look at this passage and say, this is what we have to do, and we think this is not enough. Like the brother who came for the communion, he told us, like, hey, just believe in Jesus. It looks so simple. And we're like, that's all? Many people don't want to do that because that's so easy. But many of the religion, they want to do something to please God. They feel like they have to do something to go to heaven. In India, that's called karma. That means you got to do something to go to the next life as a human being. Otherwise, you'll end up being a frog, or you'll be a snake, or you'll be an insect. Amen? That's what they believe in. Now, say, for example, verse 12, it says that whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Who does not have, even what they will be taken away. Now, I have, say my leg stops functioning because of a stroke, and I stop using my leg. It will lose its strength. My leg shrivels up, and it will look smaller than the other one because I'm not using it. In the same way, the brother who came for the communion said that it is a gift that God has given. But if somebody gives you a gift, if the Prime Minister of Canada gives you a gift, where will you keep your gift? You won't keep it under the bed, you'll display it. Because it's given by the Prime Minister. And that's what you do as a Christian, you display your gift. Because it's a gift. You know, if you do not display the gift, God says, I will take it away from you. What's the use of having a gift that God gave you and you're not displaying to others? People have to see that you are a Christian. People have to see that you have the gift that God has given you. And say, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Can you see? If you have the Holy Spirit, then probably you can see red and black. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you'll see only the black. I'm just joking. Okay, now, tell me, one of the X-rays have been infected by tuberculosis. Which one is that? You do not know. You know it? You're a doctor? Nobody's a doctor here. If there's a doctor, they'll figure it out. Oh, there it is. My son is a doctor, but he's a dentist. Okay, now, the one on the right is infected by tuberculosis. Now, can you spot the tuberculosis? Not possible. Why? You're not a doctor. Now, you have a normal eye. There's an eye affected by cataract. Let me get a closer view. We have eyes, but cannot see. That's what Jesus says. Now, this is a school in a place near to my hometown. This is where I was born and brought up. We went to the school a few months ago, to pray for the disciples there, for the students there, who are actually taking up the public exam. When I was speaking to those students and tried to pray for these students, I asked them some questions so that I can pray for them. I asked them specifically, tell me what worries you? Because I know some of the worries could stop you from doing a great job in your exam. One of the person came up and told me, I don't want to write the exam. I asked him, why? Because my father told me that I will not pass in that exam. He refused to take the exam. He never took that exam after that. Why? Just because his dad told him so. Second person I talked to him, he said, I want to die tonight. I said, why? He said that my father left my mother. I don't want to go back to my house after my exam. I want to fail. I want to stay back in this hostel. That's a pain that these children go through. The third one, I want to kill my sister. Why? Well, she studies in the same school. She betrayed me to the principal. So when you look at all these students, they are from good family, rich family in India. They come to this school, it's a boarding school, residential school. But they go through so much of pain. Every one of them have some problem or other. Every one of them cried except for one. And that seemed to be a good guy. I don't know what it is, but maybe he's not open about his life. But let me tell you, they go through so much pain. This is what I'm talking about. But what happened many years ago in the same school? You saw the lady there? She studied in the same school 20 years ago. She was invited by someone because somebody can see some pain in this girl's life. Her father was a police inspector, a top level IG, inspector general in one of the big states in India. She had pain in her life. She wanted to commit suicide. Somebody saw that in the eyes of this woman. Because she was gifted with that eyes. She can see and say, wow, look at this. This woman has some problem. Invite her to the church. She came. She became a disciple. Now she's married. Now, that's another girl who studied in the same school. She had pain in her life because two of her sisters were going through major pain, and she was worshiping idols, and she said, I want to know who's the right God. And just a month before that, she was deciding to go to every church and find out which church is the right church. One of the sisters reached out to this girl, and she said, come over to the church. She came to the church. She became a disciple. They met in a conference. Though both these sisters met in the conference, not knowing they became disciples in different places. And they looked at each other and they were like, wow, I know you, I know you. And they were good friends. They do not know each other's needs. But somebody else, a disciple, deciphered somebody's pain and invited to the church. Doctors know where their tuberculosis is, but disciples know where the pain is, and they make an effort to exercise the gift given by God and say, I know this person isn't going through pain. I want this person to know about God and display this gift that God has given. And then they come to the church and they change. And that's how you and I are in this church, because somebody exercised the gift of looking at you and say, I know this person needs God. I know this person needs God. And that's how you were invited to the church. You know, now they're leading a church. She's a full-time worker in the church. He's working outside. She's a church full-time worker in the church. But then look at these guys, people's life. Their life is so amazing. They love God. They take care of her. She's a first-generation Christian in her family. And so when we look at these people, I'll come back to that later. When you look at these people's lives, I believe that I've made an effort. Rani and I, my wife and I have gone to the school every single month, teaching the children about God. I know one day some of them in that church, in that school, will become disciples. Amen. They will remember what we spoke about God. Okay. Now, this person, this little boy there, he was crying. His father mother asked, why are you crying? God is not answering my prayer. So what prayer did he pray? No, God is not answering my prayer. What is the prayer that he pray? I ask only one thing from God. So what is that? I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. You know, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Because in India, we believe by seeing. That's why there's idols there. By looking at something, we believe this is where what it is. And this boy is amazing because he had that faith of wanting to see Jesus. And one day, I know that he'll become a great disciple. Because these two people are first generation Christians who never known about Jesus at all. They became disciples. They invited to the church, they converted, and now they are disciples. Now, his name is Matthew. Those two people's name are having different names and all the Hindu gods' names, you know. Now, second one, can you hear? Can you hear? What I'm going to show you next thing might feel a little disgusting, so hold yourself. What's that? That's the ear filled with wax. Ah, you can hear, but you cannot hear. You can hear, cannot hear. Okay? Right, okay. What's that? That's heartbeat. Good. Okay, what is that heartbeat? It's a fetal, 11 months old child's heartbeat, because this is a little bit faster, you know. nurse in the church, when I asked this question in India, she answered it right. Why? Because she was a nurse. Now, we are Christians. If we really knew what God's gift was, we can look at this person and say, hey, look at that. I think he has some problems in his life. I want to talk to him and find out what it is. That's a gift given by God, and the Holy Spirit that's inside us will helps us to be like the doctor who diagnoses the things that other people have. No. 14. If then in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will ever be hearing but never understanding. You will ever seeing but never perceiving. You know, as disciples, we read the Bible just like farmers read farming books. How many of you read farming books? Nobody does. Why? Because you're not farmers. You read Bible because you're a Christian. If you don't read your Bible, then you're not a Christian. Is it hard for us to say that? Do you get offended when I say that? No, you don't. As a Christian, we do read the Bible. As a Christian, we look at the Bible and say, I listen to the Bible. There are many gods in India. Do you know how many gods are there in India? 3.3 million gods. Ah. There's a lot of gods. So you go to one temple. They fear that this God will punish me if I go to this temple. So if you invite them to the church and say, my God will punish me if I come to your church. That's why many people don't come to the church, because they fear God will punish them. Many people fear. There's no love for God in India. There's only fear of God in India. You know, there is a pastor who preached about the verse saying that idols are devil. And he was put in jail. Non-bailable offense, where he can never come out of the jail for the next 7 years, because he just mentioned what is written in the Bible. It was not in a public meeting, it was in a private setting. Somebody recorded it and produced it to the judge, and judge told him that's good enough to put him in jail. So, next year, I might not come here to visit my son. I might be in jail too. I'm ready for it. We don't stay there looking like, oh, I'm going to have a Christian life for many years. No, I might be in jail anytime. That's the crisis in India, and getting worse. Now, 30 years as a disciple, if you ask me, I heard about Jesus many times. How much do I know about Jesus? I could say probably 1%. That's the knowledge I have about Jesus. There's so much in the Bible. We got to keep reading and reading and reading. Every time you open the Bible, you're like, oh, Jesus like this. Oh, Jesus like that. Oh, Jesus like this. Wow, that's beautiful. But every time you look at the Bible, we get so fired up about what God can do through Jesus Christ. Look at these aunties. Oh. Okay, here we go. There it is. These are the aunties. These are the older women who sit together and pray every Sunday after church. Out of the fellowship, they go on top of the roof, a corner of the roof, they sit down and they pray. They pray for every disciple in the church, name by name. And they also pray for every family group leader. And they pray for every zone leader in the church. The auntie that is sitting in the center, she is a cancer patient. She walks 7 kilometers every Sunday to church one way. She walks. But let me tell you, these people are faithful people, because they heard the word of God. They don't just sit there and pray. These are the first people who will be in the church, fellowshipping with others. They hug people. People will be waiting for their hugs, because these people are so warm. And one of the things about our church is we love to hug people, right? We enjoy hugging people. That's what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? As soon as he saw the prodigal son coming, he hugged him. He enjoyed hugging. I think some of us will run away if Jesus comes to hug you, right? Would you? How would you be comfortable in his embrace? And I think Jesus is awesome, and we need to tell the world that Jesus is awesome. No matter who you are, what you are, he's willing to hug you. He didn't didn't say, go and wash your clothes, wash your body, then come back and I'll give you a hug. No, he didn't say that. Not only hugged us, he kissed us again and again and again. That's what Jesus is all about. But how would people know if you don't tell them that? Because they don't know the secret, you know the secret. But secret has to be revealed to people. Now, this is a church leader. Both of them are first generation Christians. These people love God and they're willing to go the extra mile to give up everything because their father said, I will not give you any property if you come become a disciple. He said, I don't want my property. I want to become a disciple. That's how he became a disciple. You know, I think when you look at this church leader, just in the last 6 months, he has grown the church from 80 to 120. 40 disciples, just like that. How is it possible? Because he knows that what the gift that he's got, he has to tell others. And that's the reason he's doing that. Not him alone, it's this whole group of 80 Christians who've decided to do that. He inspires everybody and say, it's time for us to not keep the gift to ourselves, to give to others. Because he knows he has a ear, but he has to make sure he hears what God has to say. Next one, can you feel? You know what's that? There's a heart filled with, covered with fat. Sometimes the heart could also be like this. We have a heart, but we don't have any feelings. Next to our, in our workplace, somebody will be sitting there and crying, but you might not even ask them why they're crying. Right in front of you, the person who's sitting in front of you might be going through, our face might not be as happy as he was yesterday, but you will not even thinking about, I should ask this person. Why? Because we have a heart, but does not feel. Or maybe it feels, but we don't want to respond to the feeling that we have in our heart. But God has given us the gift of feeling for people. You walk by a person who's going through pain, and you can say the Holy Spirit telling you, invite that person. Invite that person. But if we go away, walk away from that person, not wanting to do that because our heart is covered. This is a family again, from an ordinary family. Mother of the brother here, after they became disciples, they used to have family devotions every single day. They have these family devotions to teach this mother about Jesus Christ. She is like a little girl, a little baby, does not know about Jesus Christ because she's from a Hindu background. She cannot read and write. So she has to act out the stories of Jesus Christ and then tell them about who Jesus is. Sometimes they even hold a hand together and say, Ringa, Ringa, Roses, Pocket Full of Roses. And they have this interest in singing, and then they make it so lively for her because she does not know Jesus Christ. You make an effort to do that. This is also a family. They are church leaders. Both of them from first generation Christian, do not know Christianity. The whole family, his family and her family, all of them became disciples 20 years ago. They lead the church. This man, she's from a Christian background. He's from a Hindu background. He has lost his one arm. He has only one arm. And he's a full-time worker. He preaches the word. And he said that no one will even accept me to even talk. But as a church, they accepted me to preach the word. He's an excellent cricket player. He's an excellent sports person. He's an excellent preacher. Why? Because somebody heard him. Somebody had a gift and they used that gift and they picked him up from the street and made him into what he can be. That's what God has called us for. The same person that we just now saw. they lead a church as well. Both of them are trained in school of missions in our church because of the money that you sent. The missions money they sent to India. Maybe you sent it to some other country. But that's the money they were used to train them for 2 years, 3 years actually. And they're leading the church. Shivanyanam, the name means the wisdom of the god Shiva. Shiva is a destroyer. That's his name. He's celebrating his birthday. That's a watermelon, by the way. That's the birthday cake that we use to celebrate birthdays. There we go. And That's the daughter. Her name is Esther. So her name is Esther, right? Christian name, okay. Now, it's a birthday, his birthday that they celebrated it. She is now in the second year college, and she probably will be interested to be in the ministry. Both of them. One of them is a Christian background, and he is from a Hindu background. They are church leaders. Both of them from Hindu background, church leaders. Pinanita, they are English teachers. They know little English, but yet their English is good enough to teach in India. Amen. Okay, though these two work for the hope and for the church, they double up. Their church has grown. They converted some doctors in the church. Finally, though both are from a Christian background, rich people. He owns a quarry. He spends money by just literally going to any part of India by flying by flight. His family is so influential that he uses money just like that. That's how a rich family that he comes from. Now, this family is a family that does not take any money from the church. They lead the church. They converted a lot of campus students. And in the campus student, you can see Steve. His name is Vinay. Vinay was invited by Steve because he was his classmate in the school. He invited him, came to the church, studied the Bible because he could see something wrong with this person that he can change and become potential. He's a very good student, athlete, he's a basketball player, but something was missing in this guy. He came to the church, he studied the Bible. He went out to the second best college in India. And he became, and he started evangelizing. He invited people to the church. And all these are campus students in the same school. This happened in the last 3 years. Just in 3 years. Now, what's good about this? Most of them are going to become full-time workers in India. Many of your jobs are going to be saved. If you wouldn't have stopped them from coming to Canada, many of them were wanting to come to US or Canada, maybe they would have taken your jobs. So this guy said, no, I want to keep them back in India so they can be full-time workers here. And this happened because Steve opened his eyes, heard the pain of this guy, and felt for this person, Vinay, and he invited him, taught him the Bible, and he helped him become a disciple. Last year, he studied the Bible called Santosh. In India, before he could come here, he baptized him and left to Ottawa. While he was leaving to Ottawa, the guy Santosh was crying. He said, why are you crying? You baptized me and you're leaving? I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay back. He was so connected to Steve that he just didn't want to let go of Steve. He's doing really well. I want to let you know that he wants to do great things for God. And I know that that's what it is. When we only feed ourselves, then we don't feel for others. Why don't we feel for others? Because we only feed ourselves. The way to a person's heart to not a man's heart, to a person's heart, amen, is a stomach. Jesus always fed people before teaching them the sermon. Tiago, a person who is, just now I showed him to you. 2008, there was floods in India. Disciples saw him without a house, sitting outside with his mother. And they invited him to come to the church. He came. But before that, the person who invited him took him to his house, gave him food, gave him a shelter. Because of that act, he became a disciple. I look at my wife. I usually fast. When I fast for something that I want. My wife is a person who fasts for what she already got. And I ask her, so what are you fasting for? Oh, I'm grateful. I'm thanking God for what he did for me. I'm like, I've never done that. So many times I've caught myself asking her and then I got all convicted by that, you know. You know, let me tell you something. Symptoms of a calloused heart, a non-feeling heart. Your Bible study becomes tasteless. Have you felt that way? David says, the word of God is a sweetest honey, or sweeter than honey, right? Do you feel that way? If you don't feel that way, your heart is getting calloused. That's a symptom. You know, forgiving others is another way to look at whether your heart is calloused, which is covered with fat. Forgiving is not about anyway about the other person's character. We don't want to forgive, right? It is about your character. It was my character that allows me to forgive or not. And I want to think about that for a moment and ask, where is our heart? What happens to our heart in different ways? All these people that I showed just now are church leaders. In verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see. Amen. Your eyes. And your ears because they hear. Amen. Do you feel blessed? Do you? Let me ask you this. For truly I tell you, many of the prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Prophets could see it. Great people. But you can see it. That's amazing. That's what God wants us to understand. We are blessed. And I want you to think about this for a moment, of the blessing that you and I have. But just by looking at a person, we know that person has a problem. But just by listening to the person, we know that the person has a problem. By listening, feeling for the person, we know there is a problem there. The secrets of the kingdom is given to all of us. When I open the Bible, I feel like Jesus is opening up his arms. I didn't feel like that before. I felt like I had to read my Bible. It is a duty. Somebody's going to ask me. So I read my Bible. Okay? It used to be my father, mother before you asked me, did you read your Bible? I'm from a Protestant background. So I got trained by my family. Did you read your Bible? Yes, I read. What did you read? I don't know. So now, what you do when you open the Bible, you feel like you're falling into the lap of God, in the Word of God. When you see the sister in pain, what do you do? What do you do? When you hear the co-worker who's lost, who's working, who's beside you, and you know he's lost, what do you do? When you feel sad for a quiet brother or sister in this congregation, what do you do? What do you do? You have the secret. You are a doctor. You are a spiritual doctor who can diagnose things. You can display the gift that God has given. You don't have to do anything. Just display it. That's all. You have the secret to do great things for God. Amen. I want to show you a video, a 3-minute video, on what we did when we had flooding just a month ago in a state called Kerala. Many people lost their houses. Many of the disciples responded to that. They went there to help those people. This is physical help, amen. But let me tell you, we are spiritual doctors. We can do much better than what we can do physically. Amen.